Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Week in Reviews. My name is Simon Barrett, and this gives us an opportunity to talk to someone in the entertainment world. My guest today is a musician, Ben Lang. Ben, welcome to the program.
Thank you kindly. Good to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, your band has a slightly strange name. You're known as Biv and the Mnemonics. Have I got that right?
That is correct. Well done on the pronunciation.
I'm going to ask you about that, but
sure.
Let's start at the beginning. Who is Ben Lang?
Ah, what a question. Well, I'll tell you, I was born in Texas, and at a very young age moved to California, to San Francisco Bay Area. Grew up around there and ended up eventually going to college at a place called Chico State, which I'm sure many people have heard of. You know, it was there that I really kind of got into music, started, you know, playing in different bands and things of that nature. And, you know, it's a really interesting scene in the Chico area. A lot of great bands, a lot of great music, really kind of thrives up there. And it was there that I met the first kind of seeds of our band, a gentleman named Dan Pagy. And we went to school together. We played music together up there, and then eventually both made our way back to San Francisco. And it was there that, you know, Biv and the Mnemonics was born.
Okay, I can't resist asking the question. Where does the name come from?
Sure. You know, it comes mostly from us being a little too clever for our own good. We originally were called Roy G. Biv and the Mnemonic Devices. We were just trying to kind of come up with something in the spirit of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, you know, those kind of ridiculous, never-ending band names. And, you know, Roy G. Biv, we just thought was an interesting mnemonic device, which was, in the original conception, the idea was that Roy G. Biv would be sort of his own character and that we would be the mnemonic devices. And, you know, the question would always be, well, which one is Roy? We kind of lost sight of that general theme over time, but did like the name and we liked the playfulness of the name. And so we eventually ended up shortening it to just Biv and the Mnemonics because we just thought we'd make it a little bit easier for people and for ourselves. But, yeah, that's pretty much, you know, the general explanation of where that all came from.
Okay, a question. You became interested in music. Are you classically trained or, you know, did you just... you know, teach yourself, pick it up as you went?
You know, I kind of ended up just teaching myself. I sort of came of age in the era of the internet and guitar tablatures. And, you know, just in high school, picking up a guitar, it became very easy to teach yourself how to make a song and put it together and play songs that you love and eventually kind of learn how to write your own. And so that's, you know, my own personal background. I certainly had some supportive people in my life who would, you know, teach me chords, maybe bought me my first instrument or something like that. But, you know, as far as any sort of official training, that I never had.
Right. I know little about chords, you know, other than the fact that my wife sometimes wants to put one around my neck.
I know about those chords, too.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we play a track from your upcoming CD, which I believe is named The Pace?
That it is.
Okay. How about Manifest Destiny?
Yeah, it's a great place to start.
Okay, here it is.
Great.
Yourself in the prog genre, or where would you put the band?
You know, it's funny. That's never one that I don't know that any of us have ever thought about. Not to say that it's not possible that some of that snuck in there. You know, we usually refer to ourselves as sort of folk or electric folk, if you will. That's definitely one of the more rockin' tracks on the album. You know, so we try to do a lot of things. We usually just kind of do whatever sounds good. But if we like it, we'll stick with the part. We'll keep riffing on it and just kind of bring it all together until, you know, we like it. And whatever comes together is a surprise to all of us at the end.
Okay. That is great segue into my next question. Who else is on this CD?
So there are five of us in the band, sort of core group members. There is myself and Dan Paggi, who I mentioned earlier, and we kind of, you know, originally started the group. We played together in college, and that is actually a song from our old college days. He wrote that way back when, and it's kind of the oldest written song on our album. But, you know, it really kind of, over the years, took on a new life with the new members of the band, which include Evan Wardell on guitar, who is a really great guitar player that lives here in San Francisco that we found after we moved back down here. You heard a female voice singing on there, and that was Jesse Alsop, who is an incredibly talented musician and vocalist who actually hails from New Zealand. So we were very fortunate to get her in the Bay Area as well. And then on drums is our good friend Landon Moblad, who really, you know, brings the beat home on that track in particular.
Oh, indeed. No, I think everyone did a great job. It begs the question, though. You know, it's one thing being in a studio, you know, where you can fiddle, you can edit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you play live as well?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we play live. We recently had a release show that went really well at Milk Bar SF here in San Francisco. And then, you know, we're going to be playing throughout the year along the Pacific Northwest coast, San Francisco, Chico, Oregon, all dates to come. We are in the process of setting that all up now around our April 16th release date for the album. But, yeah, we play live. We try to bring a different energy to our live shows than what you'll hear on the album. You know, a little more upbeat, a little more of a kind of good time, dance around and rock out sort of energy that we try to bring to it.
Right. You know, I talk to a lot of musicians and, you know, some are more comfortable in the studio environment where they can fiddle. And, you know, some are much happier on the stage. There's an energy that you get from the audience.
Sure. Well, you know, I would say that on stage we do just as much fiddling as we do in the studio. You know, getting out there and getting a chance to play these songs live, which we did before we even, you know, started recording anything, it gives us a chance to kind of work out and figure out what works and what doesn't. And, you know, after getting well established with them in a live setting, we have a better sense of what we want to do when we do bring it to the studio. Which then, of course, starts off a whole new round of tinkering and discovering. But, you know, that's what makes it fun no matter what or where you are, as long as you're just kind of working on the music. That's kind of what we like to do.
Okay. I want to do some shameless advertising.
Sure.
Where can people find copies of your album?
So right now there's only one place that you can get them. I mentioned before we have the official release date of April 16th, at which point it will be available in stores across the country physically. It'll also be available digitally on iTunes and eMusic, Rhapsody, other services like that. In the meantime, though, if you just can't wait to get a copy, I would point you to bivband.com. That's B-I-V. Band, Blue Indigo Violet, .com, and you can find a link to our Bandcamp page, which is the only place you can presently order a copy of the album, but we are shipping now, bivandthemnemonics.bandcamp.com. If you check it out, we are happy to ship you a copy of the album.
Perfect. Okay, I think I want to play another track, because I've got to admit that I really do like the tracks on your album. So would you have any big objections if we went to the winding rivers of Northern California?
Not at all, not at all. I think it'll give you a real different flavor from what we just heard.
Indeed. Okay, here it is, folks. That has a much lighter sound. It's a great song, and yeah, it fits in the electric folk genre. Are all of your songs different? Yeah, you play in many areas, or you tend to stay in one comfort zone?
I think so. I like to think that we, are different from song to song. What we just heard there was probably the full spectrum of kind of our hardest and loudest to our softest and quietest on the album. And we have everything in between on there. I think a lot of that comes from the fact that we don't really have a main songwriter. We're all, very collaborative, and between the five of us, anyone will sort of bring a song to the group or an idea for the song to the group, and then we'll just kind of take it from there and build and see what comes of it. And I think that's kind of what leads to this sort of variety of sounds that hopefully people will appreciate on the record.
You once again have managed to segue nicely into my next question.
I'm reading your mind. I can feel it over here. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. writing tends to mean different things to different people. I know musicians that will start with a riff and build on it, then add the vocals. I know other people that essentially will write the vocals and then add the music afterwards. But there's no right or wrong way of doing it. What is the formula that you guys use?
Let's see. I mean, it might be more difficult to speak to some of the other members of the band, but I know for myself, I forget who it was. It might have been Pete Townsend who said something to the effect of, any truly great song should be able to be played with just a guitar and a voice. And that's generally where I come from. Once I get the sort of general chord progression down and some lyrics in place, I feel more comfortable and ready to bring it to the rest of the group, and we'll just start playing it over again and seeing what sort of new ideas form. And sometimes, when the song is finished being written, it sounds very similar to how I originally brought it, but, a lot more often it takes on a whole new life and having everyone else bring in their own thing. And I think, everyone else generally comes from the same place. There's the occasional song born out of a jam or just some sort of moment. But for the most part, someone comes with some basic structure in place, which is great because it gives us a sort of starting point to take it, wherever it brings us.
Ah, have you considered becoming a politician?
I have not. I don't know if I could handle all the handshaking.
Right. Now, I'm going to try this question one more time. Okay. It's your song, and the rest of the band has to be involved, flesh it out, add some things to it. But you, as a composer, do you start with the words? Or do you start with the music?
That's a great question. I'll see if I can get it more right this time for you. It depends. Sometimes it's just a phrase will pop into my head, or a little slice of a melody. And sometimes when you start there, you have to go to the guitar and find out, okay, where are the chords here? How do I bring it from there? Other times, I'll just be sitting there playing my guitar, and I have no idea what the lyrics are, but a song will just sort of start to come together, or a riff here and a riff there. Generally, I have a large collection of different riffs that I've made up, and sometimes I'll just pick and choose and see which one might work with another riff or another progression, and just kind of one piece at a time build it together, and then a song you know, is really good when once you start to get the initial idea in place and the rest of it just falls in right after that, then you know you're onto something, and it just kind of comes from deep inside your unconscious somewhere, seemingly already written. And just sometimes it just takes getting that first step out of the way, and then when it all falls after that, that's generally a song that I'll bring to the rest of the group.
Right. And what happens at that point? You know, you play it, that they listen, and then it expands to, you know, other instruments, drums, etc. I'm correct in that thought.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and like I said, sometimes it ends up exactly like how I wanted it, and sometimes it takes on a whole new life of its own.
Right. I actually yesterday I was talking to a musician. He was having his house remodeled, and while the guys were, you know, smashing walls down and doing whatever they were doing, he was, the technical term is noodling, you know, trying to come up with an idea. And he was playing with the fabled instrument called the theremin. Ever heard of one?
Absolutely. It's a fascinating instrument.
Right, and after they left, he called me, and he said, "I think I just scared the workman."
The theremin is a good instrument to go to if you're looking to cause a little scare.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, and there are these poor guys painting and bashing, and all they can hear is "woo."
I can only imagine either that or the Beach Boys, right?
Right. So, your CD is essentially available now through your website, but the official launch date is still a little ways off.
Yeah, coming up April 16th.
Right. What are your future plans? Where can people find you?
At this point, you know, aside from the internet and where we will be updating future shows, our next show is going to be at the SF Bay Chili Cook-Off in Oakland, which we are very excited about, both to perform and to eat what I'm sure will be some delicious chili. And then from there, we are going to continue booking around the release date between, like I believe I mentioned before, San Francisco, Chico, Sacramento, Oregon, and that whole area. And if we can get out even further than that, then we will be taking any opportunity we can to do so.
Perfect. I have my producer squawking in my ear. That we're almost out of time. So I want to thank you for taking time out to talk to me today.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to wish you every success with your CD. And you know, please let me know how things turn out.
Very much appreciated. I will do just that.
Okay. All right. Till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe day. We'll be back again soon with another episode of The Week in Reviews. Until then, goodbye.